Now we return to our study in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7, and we've come to chapter 7, and tonight verses 7 to 11, which is basically a passage about prayer. I read it to you from Luke's Gospel, and I read it in a modern version, but now we're expounding from the King James Version, so I'll read it now from Matthew's Gospel. The Lord Jesus taught these things, no doubt, on many different occasions. That's why there are different versions of them, and sometimes they're slightly different. All good teachers repeat themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is the best teacher that there has ever been, and he said the same things over and over again, and still some of us don't take any heed to it. But here we have it in Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now this is a basic passage about prayer, very, very precious indeed. First, ask, seek and knock. We have a chorus in our songbook on that, and we shall be singing it, God willing, next Sunday evening. But it's about asking God for things. It's not so much about prayer which is praising God or thanking God, but asking him for something. What's technically called intercessory prayer, or petitioning prayer, or supplication. It's asking God. Ask and you will receive, says the Lord Jesus. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you knock on the door of heaven, ask God to come to the door and answer you. He will. If you look for him and seek for him, you'll find him. And he will give you things. He wants to. He loves you. Look at verse 11. If you then, being evil. Ooh, what an interesting phrase that is. We'll look at it again next Sunday. That's God's verdict upon man's soul. God doesn't say man is basically good at heart. He says man is basically bad at heart. He needs a change of heart. If you then, being evil, even though you are by your very nature evil. Notice the Lord Jesus doesn't say, if we then, being evil. He draws a distinction between them and himself, because he wasn't evil. He's the only person who has ever lived who did not have a corrupt heart and in need of a change. No, he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, in spite of the fact that you are evil, you've got enough goodness about you to at least not mock your children. If your children ask for bread, you wouldn't give them a stone. And if your child asks for a fish, you wouldn't give him a poisonous serpent. Or if he asks for an egg, we have in Luke's Gospel, you wouldn't give him a scorpion that would sting him. No. Well, then he argues then from the lesser to the greater. Here's a legitimate analogy from human fatherhood to divine fatherhood. A scriptural one. If you then who are evil would love your children like that and give to them the things that they ask for, then how much more will your Heavenly Father give things to you when you come to him and ask him for them? In other words, God does answer prayer. Now, I could keep you here for a long time, or at least certainly for the time that I might like to take with this evening's message, giving you examples of wonderful answers to prayer. People in the Bible, for example, or people in history, or people in Christian biography that I have read, who have come to God and petitioned heaven and asked God for something, and God has wonderfully answered their prayer and given to them what they have asked for. I'm not going to do that for this reason, that somebody might well say, yes, but I've asked for something and I haven't got it. And when we hear stories of people who have had wonderful answers to prayer, and we've been petitioning God for something, and we haven't received it, or when somebody says, oh, but ask and it shall be given you, but we have asked and it hasn't been given us, to hear all these wonderful stories only makes us more depressed than ever. It doesn't encourage us at all. We think, what's wrong with me then, that I don't get it? Hudson Taylor got it, George Muller got it, so-and-so seemed to get it, but I don't get it. Why haven't I received my request? One says, I've asked to be healed, but I don't get healed. In fact, I get worse. Another one says, I've asked for my loved one to be healed, but she doesn't get healed. She doesn't get better. She's growing worse. She's dying. Another one says, well, I've asked the Lord to give me a boyfriend. I've been asking for 65 years for the Lord to give me a boyfriend. I've been very patient, but I am beginning to lose hope a little bit. And he doesn't seem to hear my prayer. So, someone else says, well, I haven't been asking for quite that long, but I have been asking, but it doesn't come, or he doesn't come, Mr. Wright. Or someone else says, I've been asking for a Christian girlfriend. Oh, there are some very attractive girls work in our office, and I think, you know, if I played my cards right, as they say, I shouldn't use that expression in the pulpit, but lexicon cards or snap or happy families, if I played my cards right, I could get one of those girls, but she doesn't know the Lord, and I wouldn't be married outside the Lord. I want to be in partnership with a Christian girl, so I'm asking the Lord to lead me to somebody whom I can love and who will love me, and we can be heirs together of the grace of life. But it doesn't happen. Someone else says, I've asked that I might prosper in business, and I've gone bankrupt. Someone else says, I've asked for a place to live, but I can't find anywhere. Someone else says, I've asked for my wife or my husband to be saved, but they show no interest in the gospel. How then does that tie up with ask and it shall be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you? For everyone that asketh receiveth. No, I haven't, says one. So I want to just deal with that a little bit tonight. Perhaps we could call it the problem of unanswered prayer. You see, this text doesn't mean anyway that God must always automatically give his children everything that they ever ask for. It's always a mistake to lift a text right out of scripture with no regard for the other scriptures that teach about the subject, and then wonder why it doesn't sort of tie up. We have to always look at the teaching as a whole, and the teaching of the Bible as a whole would never lead us to think that if we only just simply ask absolutely everything we ask for, God must give. He's some kind of genie. We rub the lamp and he comes and says to us, Lord and Master, what will you have me to do? Oh no, we come to him and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so we mustn't turn this around or make something of it that it was never intended to teach. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was asking that if it was possible, he didn't have to go to the cross. And he didn't have to go to that awful midnight and that awful darkness and that awful hell of bearing sin. If there was any other way whereby sinners could be saved, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. And he went to the cross. Three times the Apostle Paul asked the Lord if he would take away some problem which really bothered him. A thorn in the flesh. And the Lord God said, no. I'm going to let you keep that, and I'm going to help you to triumph over it and through it. My grace is sufficient for you, that everyone may learn, and you may learn. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So he didn't get what he asked for. Some people think if only you have enough faith, you will get everything that you ask for. And they try to work themselves up into some kind of self-induced faith. I've heard people pray, oh Lord God, please do so and so. And then they say, while they're still on their feet, thank you Lord for doing that. We know that you've done that now. And when we go home, we shall find that it's done. And they're playing at make-believe. They don't know what that does to them when they go home and find it wasn't done. I think they either become very disillusioned, or else they enter a kind of world of make-believe. That isn't what it means, praying in faith. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? Well, now let's go through that. I believe he does in a way, but anyway, let's take it that way. The first thing, and let me be personal, if I may, let me put it you, supposing it's you and you're asking this question. The first thing that you want to try on your checklist is this. Is God really your Father? You see, he says, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Yes, but is God your Father? Well, you say, God is the Father of everyone. No, no. He's the Creator of everyone. But the Bible tells us, as many as received the Lord Jesus, to them gave he the authority to be the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, Jesus' name. So there are some who are not the children of God, and some who are the children of God. The so-called Lord's Prayer is not really for all the world to pray. It's for those who have come into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and who now can pray the family prayer, Our Father, who is in heaven. So therefore, obviously, this must be your first question. Is God really my Father? Have I been brought into his family? Am I his child? Or let's put this question in this way. Are you a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this Sermon on the Mount was delivered primarily to disciples. Followers. There were others listening. Jesus wanted them to know what was involved in being a Christian and in being in the kingdom, making Jesus your king. These are the rules of the kingdom. But if you're not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then this is the first thing to put right immediately. Next Sunday evening we'll be saying more about that and how you can do it. Or we could put the same question in this way. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? Because when Jesus was teaching this same teaching on another occasion, and we have it recorded in Luke 11 and we read it together, he said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Does Christ by his Spirit come and dwell in your heart? Now that's the first question. Because if not, then you're not in touch with God. You're separated from God. And God is not your Father. And you must have that put right above everything else. And then you can start saying, Father, please, I'm asking. We'll return to that next Sunday. But if you say, well, yes, Pastor, I am a child of God, and I am by grace a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and I have received the Holy Spirit into my heart, then the next question I would ask you is this: if God doesn't seem to be answering your prayer, your petition. Let this be the next thing on your checklist. Am I a disobedient child? You see, sin separates even God's own people, in a sense, from him. Let me read you a verse from the Old Testament, two verses. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We can hear, but he is not going to hear. Why? Well, because you're disobedient. And he wants you first to put the thing right that's wrong in your life, and then come and ask your petition. Now, we've got some boys and girls here tonight, as usual. Boys and girls, you can understand this. Let me give you an illustration, and the mums and dads can learn from it as well. Supposing you were a naughty little boy, or a naughty little girl. Now, I know you never would be. I know that. But just supposing that you were. And supposing you wanted a new bike. And supposing you went to your mum and dad, and you hung your head a bit because you knew that you'd been very naughty, and your mummy and daddy said, "Well, hello, what is it?" And you said, "Well, I want to ask you something." And they said, "Oh, good, he's going to ask to be forgiven and promise to put that matter right and not do it again." And you said, "I've come to ask for a new bike." I think they would say, "Well, now, just a minute, there's something a little bit more important first before we get on to this new bike. You've done something wrong, haven't you?" "Yes." "You've been very disobedient, haven't you?" "Yes." "Are you going to put it right?" "No." "Please, can I have a new bike?" Now, what do you think they'd say? They'd say, "Well, no, you can't have a new bike. We want to sort this matter out. We want to promise that you're going to put that thing right that you're doing wrong, and an assurance. And if you say that you're going to go on being disobedient, you can forget all about new bikes." Now, if you said, "You don't love me, do you?" They would say, "Yes, we do love you. And it's because we love you that we want you to be obedient and to be good." And dearly beloved, you may think that's a childish illustration, but there are thousands of us as Christians who are God's children who wonder why he doesn't give us the desires of our hearts, and we're living in sin. Well, I don't mean we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. I mean that there is something in our lives which is definitely in flagrant to the revealed word of God, and we know it. And every time we come before him in prayer and we say, "Search me, O God, and show me if there be any wicked way in me," he says, "All right, there you are." Well, it's no use coming and asking him, is it? Unless we're prepared to be obedient children and try and walk in the ways of the Lord. And I have sat and counseled some people sometimes, or I've even heard them pray. And I've wondered how they could petition heaven when I knew they were living in sin, and so did they know it. And I have come to the conclusion, and I say this guardedly, I think that the prayers of some of us make God sick. "I hate, I despise your feast days," he said to Israel. "Because you're a disobedient people, and you will not keep my law or walk in my ways. Then come and make your requests known unto God when you've put the matter right and repented of that sin." So that's the second thing on the checklist. Let me give you a third thing. You say, "Well, I'm not conscious of anything like that. I know I have a lot to learn and there's a lot that needs to be put right, but there's no deliberate, willful act of disobedience that blocks me from the blessing of my Father." Well, now, in that case, Ask yourself this: what are you seeking for most when you ask, thinking it will be given you? You see, James says in James chapter 4 and verse 2, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Let me read that to you again. You ask and do not receive, he says, this is the word of God, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, some of us are very selfish. We only ever seem to ask for things for ourselves. We're only interested in, number one, me. I've been in prayer meetings. I remember a previous church that I knew very well. There were certain people in that prayer meeting. They never ever prayed for anybody else. They only ever prayed for things that were to do with them, either themselves or their immediate family. But they never ever prayed for anyone else's needs, however heart-rending or however needful they were. And they certainly never prayed for the honour of God and the glory of his name. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. You see, what did our Lord teach us when we asked him to teach us how to pray? Well, he said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, first petition, hallowed be your name. Oh Father, may you be held in reverence throughout the world, and especially in this country where I am, and especially in my heart. God first. Second, may your kingdom come. May missionaries prosper. May the gospel have free course. May evangelists be raised up to preach the word. May little children come to know the Saviour. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, how wonderful that there is a place where there's no sin, and where your will and your wish is done perfectly by everybody there. Oh, Father, I wish it was like that on earth. Please send out influences like this godly man who's become head of the police force, and members of parliament, and others in all spheres of life who will do righteously. Your will be done on earth. You see, it's all God, the first three petitions. And perhaps if we reverse the order and we only ever ask anything for ourselves, especially to spend it on our passions, as the AV puts it, God is saying, well, now, just a minute. Let's just get the priorities right, and the motives right, and the list of petitions right. What are you seeking for most? But then in the first place, I would put this on the checklist. Look with me again at verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, if I were you, I should underline the words good things in your Bible, and especially heavy under the word good. Good things. God doesn't say he will give us any things or bad things if we ask for bad things. Good things. Well, you see, who knows what is a good thing? Better than God. If somebody asks, child asks for bread, will a father give him a stone? No, of course not. Because bread is a good thing. Can't eat a stone. But what if he asked for a stone and thought it was a piece of bread? His father would say, no, you've got it wrong. You're mistaken. Your eyes are deceiving you. Well, what if a little child reached out to their daddy in Palestine and said, I want that thing, and it was a scorpion? He thought it was an egg, but it was a scorpion. The father would say, no, you can't have that. That's not a good thing. That will hurt you. And the child may say, "You don't love me, you won't give me what I want." Yes, I will, but I'll only give you good things. And I'm wiser than you, little one, toddler. I know what's good for you better than you do, and I have to withhold from you things that will do you harm. Besides which, our loving Heavenly Father knows tomorrow as well as today. And He knows next week as well as this week. And He knows next year as well as this year. He sees all the future, and He knows what we're going to need in future days as well as today. Won't you trust Him? This is faith. This is praying in faith. "Father, I believe not only in Your power, but I believe in Your wisdom. And I believe in Your love. And You will withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly. And I trust You." You see, the Lord Jesus says, "How much more will Your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Ah, is this what you long for most? That you might have the Holy Spirit, more of Him, and ever more of Him. "Oh, fill me with Thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflow." Do you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Is this at the top of the list? "Seek ye first," said the Lord Jesus in chapter 6 and verse 33, "seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, the best thing, good things, the best thing are the spiritual gifts that God will give to us. His Holy Spirit. The ability by His power to keep this Sermon on the Mount. How can you love your enemies? How can you love those who despitefully use you, or turn the other cheek to those who hurt you and insult you? How can you steer a proper course between these two rocks? "Judge not that you be not judged. Do not give what is holy unto dogs, or cast pearls before swine." Oh, how we need the wisdom of God. And how we need the power and the strength of God to live out this Sermon on the Mount. We, none of us can do it. Who is sufficient for these things? Unbelieving people have said that the highest teaching that's ever been taught was by Jesus of Nazareth. But they've said it's too high. Nobody can live it. And they're right. Nobody can live it without the Lord Jesus in the heart to help us. That which God commands, He will enable. Oh Lord, give me Your Spirit and help me to keep this teaching of the Lord Jesus and live like this. Help me to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Is this what You request? Is this what I request? Lord, make me more loving. Lord, make me more joyful. Lord, give me peace in the midst of storms and crises. Lord, make me patient. When, oh, I feel so impatient and irritated, Lord, give me the patience of Christ. Not the patience of Job, the patience of Christ. Lord, give me kindness. Lord, give me goodness. Lord, bring forth faithfulness. Help me to be loyal and true. Make me gentle. Help me to have self-control. Lord, keep me pure. Keep me and my girlfriend pure. Keep me and my boyfriend pure. Pure. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep me pure. Is that what you pray for? That's what He wants us to pray for. And then you know you're on the right lines and you're asking for good things. But then, in the last place, I would say be persistent in prayer. If you're sure of all these other things, you've got your motives right, you've got your list right, you're putting the right things first. And God does want to give you all good things. He's not only interested in giving you spiritual fruit, those must come first, but all these things shall be added unto you. God is interested in bikes, and cars, and jobs, and little things. He's your loving Father. So be persistent in prayer. That's what this is really saying, actually, and the parable that we read together. It's in the present tense. Keep on asking and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking and you shall find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. Don't give up too easily. And there's a progression here, isn't there? Ask, but then do something about it. God never encourages sloth. Seek, ask and seek. Knock, do something, be active. Seek for what you pray for. Do everything you possibly can. And ask God to give you the desire of your heart, if it's a pure one and a good one. And the Lord Jesus teaches us beyond doubt that we're to be persistent in prayer. That's what that parable was about. You know, that man had gone to bed. You remember in Jesus' story, the man had gone to bed. They all had to sleep in one room, you know. That's why he said, my children are with me in bed. She only had one bed. And they only had one room. It was an awful job to settle everybody down. You see, the dogs had to be in there, and the chickens had to be in there, and the baby that was cutting his teeth was in there. And if you've ever had a baby that's cutting his teeth, oh, you're so relieved when at long last you begin to hear him snoring. He's peaceful. And the dogs settled and stopped barking. The baby's gone to sleep. All is quiet. You hardly dare stir in your bed. And then some clown from across the road comes and starts knocking on the door. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He's knocking on the door. And you say, shh, who is it? It's John. Go away. Lend us three loaves, Thomas. Go away. Oh, come on, I've got a friend who's turned up. Oh, I know it's midnight, but I've a friend who's turned up. I haven't got any bread. Lend us three loaves. Go away, the children have just gone to sleep. It's too late. The dog starts growling. And the baby starts crying. And the man keeps on knocking louder and louder. And Jesus says in the story, he certainly won't give him his desire because he's a friend. Probably isn't after this. But because of his persistence, he'll get up and give him. Now, Jesus wasn't saying God our Father is like that, except in this one regard. Keep on knocking. God is more than your friend, he's your Father. And he wants to give you good things, but maybe he wants to see if you're really caring about it, or if it's just a transient thing. See, when I was a schoolmaster some years ago and I was head of a department, I got to this new school and I found that they had no Bibles and they had no textbooks and no film strips and so on. And there came the end of the year where you put in what's called your requisition, all the things that you want. And I put in, a great long list. And nothing came. And the science, of course, as usual, were getting all their thermometers and all their things. And the maths department were getting all their new textbooks, which they didn't need. And all the other departments. But the poor religious education department, Cinderella, was getting nothing. So, ask, I'll seek. So I sought the secretary, said I'd like to see the headmaster. Knocked on the headmaster's door. Said, what can I do for you? Well, I said, sir, always be polite if you want things, sir. I said, I've put in my requisition and I haven't got anything. And he looked under a great pile of papers and there was my requisition somewhere near the bottom. And he hadn't even started on it. And I began to argue with him politely that I needed those things very badly. He listened, and then sure enough, in a few weeks some Bibles, new, brand new Bibles came, but nothing else. So another appointment, and I went in and I told him we had no textbooks and we needed them badly and so on. And to cut a long story short, and it was a long story, eventually I had everything. And one day, months later, if not years later, I was helping him with a job and we were doing stocks, and it was requisition time. Oh, he says, they'll all be putting in their requisitions. He says, I don't take a blind bit of notice of any of them. Well, I said, why is that? Oh, well, he said, you see, some people have got the idea that, because they spent £150 last year, they have to spend it this year. So they just put in anything. They don't really need it. So I don't do anything. I wait until they come. And I listen to their arguments. I listen to their reasoning. And I see whether I think they really need it. And even then I don't always let them have it. I let them come again. And then if they come again, and if they keep on coming, then that tells me they really mean business. And I made a mental note that I would take note of that every time. But listen, maybe the Lord is dealing with us in a sense rather like that. He isn't a God that we can trivialize or be casual with. He wants us to come with earnestness. And with fervency, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. He wants to see that we really mean this, that we've been through the checklist. He wants to draw our attention to this whole question of priorities. Whether we're asking for the right things and in the right way, whether we're walking uprightly before him. But if all those things are true, then I would say, keep on asking, dearly beloved one. And trust in this great God that he loves you more than any earthly father has ever loved his child. And he wants to give you everything that's good for you. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more will your gracious, loving, heavenly Father, who sent his Son to die for you, who gave his Son for you, give good things to those who ask him. Never give up hope. Perhaps he wants to encourage you to pray, to make you more grateful, to make you more thankful, to make you more careful, and he'll grant you the wishes of your heart.